I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the betrayal of Christ and the Christian world. The betrayal of Christ and the Christian world. You know, it's remarkable the prophetic significance of everything that's happening in the world around us today, especially the systematic contempt that we find in the governments of the Western world and in other parts of the world as well, where there is this contempt for Christianity. There's a hatred for Bible-based Christianity, even among people who profess themselves to be Christians. And I continually go back to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, meaning his Christ, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." That, brethren, is what is happening in the world today. That's what we're watching unfold. This is just like the parable that Jesus tells, the parable of the king, where the king sets things in order and he goes on a long journey, but while he was gone, his citizens hated him. And they came and they said, "We will not have this man to rule over us." And you find that parable in Luke chapter 19, Luke 19 verse 14. That is where the citizens hated him. They come, they say, "We will not have this man to rule or reign over us." That is essentially what's happening. We're watching what was once the professing Christian world operating essentially in fulfillment of these scriptures, in fulfillment of these prophecies that were foretold. On the one hand, it's troubling to watch it happen. On the other hand, brethren, we know that the Word of God is true. This is just further confirmation that God's Word is in fact true. As God says in Isaiah 46, he says, "I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done." The Lord says, "I have declared it and I will bring it to pass." So when we're watching these things happen, brethren, when we're watching all of these events unfold, we have to remind ourselves continually that these things are happening according to God's great plan in fulfillment of what he told us would happen. And so while there's a certain amount of trouble in all of this, we watch things happening and we're watching the wickedness and the evil going on in the world. On the other hand, we've got to be reminded that the Word of God is true, that if all of these warnings of terrible things that would happen as time unfolds while we're waiting for the Lord's return, if these things are true, then we know God's promises of deliverance and salvation and eternal life are also true. And those are the most important promises to keep in mind. Praise the Lord. But what I wanted to talk about is the betrayal of Christ. The betrayal of Christ. I have thought about this for a while. The symbolism of how Christ was betrayed in the garden by Judas. And how this is a picture, I think, of how the entire Christian world is being betrayed. Dr. Ian Paisley talked about this in a different way, but I think it all relates. How Antichrist, he said, is an enemy under a mask. That Antichrist comes into the garden, he said, like Judas. Or he comes into the church like Judas in the garden. He comes as a friend, and he comes and betrays the Lord with a kiss. And that this is how Antichrist, of course, Dr. Paisley believed Antichrist is the papacy, the papal system. And so that's why he said Antichrist is an enemy under a mask. The papacy, which presents itself in long white robes as though it is the vicar of Christ, the representative of Christ on the earth, and yet really operates as a wolf in sheep's clothing. And we're seeing that even to this day with what's happening with the betrayal of the Christian world through Marxism and Mohammedism. That is just happening more and more. But I want to talk about this sense of betrayal. And let's look at, first of all, John chapter 12. John chapter 12, where we have Judas and we have Martha and Mary. And it says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment with spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Then it goes on. Now, very interesting what John says there. And of course, we believe John spoke and he wrote inspired words, where he says, verse 6, This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, presumably the poor bag, and bare what was put therein. So the sense of it seems to be that Judas was making this profession of concern for the poor. And, well, why wasn't this ointment taken? This could have been taken and sold and so on. And then the money could have been given to the poor. In other words, put into his poor bag. And then he, who John tells us was a thief, would have had access to that much more money. Interesting. I have thought repeatedly that this is exactly the way that socialism and Marxism and so on is operating in the Western world while they're betraying Christ, while they're betraying Christianity. One of the key components of Marxism is all of this profession for the poor and the downtrodden and those who are somehow or other underprivileged and are being treated somehow or other in an unequal manner. And so whatever it is that you've got, you should take it and give it to the poor. You should be paying more taxes. They need to be able to tax you more and more and more. They need to be able to redistribute your wealth. You don't need that money. We're going to take that money and put it over here for somebody else who is underprivileged because you've got too much, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's basically the same argument. But do the socialists make these arguments because they really care about the poor? And all anyone has to do is just study what goes on with socialism whenever they get control of a country. A powerful example, I was listening to a broadcast from, I'm pretty sure it was happening in South Africa, but it was a review of what's gone on there in Zimbabwe with Robert Mugabe. Now that they've finally gotten Mugabe out of power. And I've done some programs talking about this, how what was once the successful country, Christian country of Rhodesia, has now become the nightmare country of Zimbabwe. And they were talking about how Robert Mugabe lives. And his, they showed, and so I went online, and I'm listening to this in a podcast, online, and I go online, I'm looking up photos of Robert Mugabe's house there, and it's just unbelievable. You go online, you look at the palace, the very palatial, decadent surroundings that Mugabe's house was in. Now, It is said that Ian Smith, who preceded him and was prime minister there, led a much more humble existence, much, much more humble. But while the economy has gone downhill, and the people are not doing well, from what I understand, Mugabe was living high on the hog. Very similar to what went on with Castro. Castro publicly presented himself as the man of the people, wearing his military uniform and this kind of thing. But then after he died, it was revealed he had multiple homes and maintained a very lavish lifestyle behind the scenes. We see the same thing with Kim Jong-un there in North Korea, another communist country. Whenever the communists and the socialists get control, they always put themselves and their friends in this elite upper class. That's what it's about. It's not at all about equality for the people and making sure that everybody's provided for and all this other kind of stuff. They make those claims, but they're false claims over and over and over again. It's just like with Judas. This, he said, not that he cared for the poor. He didn't care anything about the poor. They only claim that they care about the poor. They don't care anything about the poor. Look at what's happened here recently. This story with Kate Steinle out in California. This poor young girl who was walking out on the pier with her father. And an illegal alien somehow or other got hold of a gun, fired a gun irresponsibly. I was listening to the news reports on this, the shocking verdict that this guy was found not guilty of any homicide charges whatsoever. First degree murder, second degree, manslaughter, none of it. The only thing they found him guilty on is possession of an illegal firearm or illegally possessing a firearm. Something they just focused on the firearm. But there was no conviction for the fact that he had killed an innocent U.S. citizen because of his lawless behavior. He's here as an illegal alien. He's not supposed to be here. That's one. And two, the irresponsible handling of a firearm, which, and I said to my wife, if this guy had been a member of the NRA, you've got to be kidding. There in San Francisco, they would have buried him. If he was a member of the NRA and he had accidentally discharged a gun, that's what he claimed. He claims he accidentally discharged it, or actually that the gun went off on its own, which everybody is just denouncing the claim because the pistol itself is specifically designed not to do that. Specifically designed not to do that. That's what they're reporting. Anyway, but what's happened is now then you watch after this whole thing, the rights of the illegal alien were of paramount importance to the attorneys that were interviewed afterwards to make sure that his rights were protected. And the right of Kate Steinle and her family of U.S. citizens was secondary, unfortunately. And it's the same kind of thing that we are watching happen right now in Western Europe. This is how the people of Europe are being treated. They're being systematically betrayed by the socialists there that have taken control of their countries, just like they have taken control of much of our country. They don't have all of it, but they are in key positions of power, and there's no question that they cause lots of problems wherever they are. All right, we are coming up on a commercial break. Let's go to our break, and we will talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today in the show, we are talking about the betrayal of Christ and of Christianity and how it's happening across the Western world. There's a number of stories right now. One of the most startling to me was a story that's not getting a lot of attention. It should be getting a lot more attention, especially from groups like Jihad Watch and Front Page Mag and others, but they haven't reported on it. You can find bits and pieces of it in the mainstream. And that is the suicide, the courtroom suicide, a very dramatic courtroom suicide of General Slobodan Praljak. And there's a number of headlines on this. Last week, he is the general from the Bosnian War who had been sentenced to 20 years at The Hague for so-called war crimes against the Muslims, it was claimed. And he was sentenced to 20 years. He had made an appeal, and his appeal was rejected, and they upheld his 20-year sentence. And so he pulls out a vial of poison, drinks it there on camera. If you haven't seen this, you can see it online. Just type in Praljak, P-R-A-L-J-A-K, Praljak's suicide, courtroom suicide, and you'll see it. He just drinks back this vial of poison, and they're asking him to sit down or words to that effect, and he says, "I just drank poison." And then a short time later, he died. And so the whole thing was very, very dramatic. But he had maintained throughout the time that he had spent in prison that he was not a war criminal. He rejected that accusation against him. And the reason I think the story is very important, should be seen as very important for the Christian world in particular, is because here was a professing Christian man, a Catholic. Let's be clear. He was Catholic, but accused of war crimes against Muslims during the Bosnian War back in the 1990s. And if you go do research on this, I've done a show on at least one other show on this. And this happened back in the 1990s. And here's a headline from one of the number of websites that talk about this. It says, quote, "The disaster that Bill Clinton created in Bosnia by backing Muslims against the Serbs has now become the next front for the Islamic State, ISIS, the Islamic State Caliphate." And so now the story goes on. This is on the website Bare Naked Islam. And the story says, quote, "Two decades later, Bosnia is still suffering the consequences. ISIS has declared the Balkans the next front for the Islamic Caliphate. And in remote mountain villages, Muslims are already flying the ISIS flag." Then it goes on from there. Well, what happened back in the 1990s was when you had the Bosnian War, you had a, what brought this whole thing about, part of what happened was you had a Muslim group of jihadis, like a Muslim army there, that went around in Serbia, and in Serbia went to these towns and villages and were raping and murdering the Christian people there and killed over 3,000 of them, slaughtered them. Then the Serbian and Croat forces go in and fight against them and end up killing thousands of Muslims. And the media and the United Nations and the Hague and the Clinton administration, who somehow or other found themselves backing the interests of the Muslims against the professing Christians in this whole thing, claimed that the killing of the Muslim soldiers, they say the killing of men and boys, but apparently from the research I've been able to gather on this, any killing that was done against those who were guilty of raping and murdering thousands of people in these villages. Okay? And so today they call it the massacre or the genocide in Srebrenica. That's where it happened. But you've got a number of other websites out there that claim that this whole thing is a hoax, that there was no genocide. They're calling it, the worst genocide since World War II, and it was horrible and all this other kind of stuff. And they make a really big deal out of it. The left-wing media does, the BBC, etc., as though this is an example of persecution against Muslims, and it's a big warning. I mean, they blend all of this in with Islamophobia. But it seems to have been, from all I can gather now, thus far, an early form of taqiyya practiced by the Muslims and by the socialist powers in the West, who are fabricating this idea that there was some massacre, some unjust killing of the Muslims there, as though they were targeted just for being Muslim, and that the Christians, the evil, bigoted Christians, were responsible, that they were the ones, supposedly. And all of this has to do with why Slobodan Praljak, General Praljak, was sentenced for so-called war crimes, because there were a number of things that went on. One was this supposed massacre that, according to a number of other websites, never really happened. They fabricated it. They call it, well, here, this is on Bare Naked Islam. They say this. He says that, quote, Edward S. Herman, a professor emeritus at the University of Pennsylvania and the author of The Srebrenica Massacre, Evidence, Context, and Politics, characterized Srebrenica genocide as a gigantic political fraud and a myth built by the West. Thanks to anti-Serbian propaganda, one can only hear stories about genocide, the biggest massacre after Holocaust. 8,000 innocent Muslim men and boys, etc. Because that's the way it's reported in mainstream media. But according to at least one professor emeritus at the University of Pennsylvania, this is one of the big frauds and hoaxes, a myth created by really Western media, but even Western politicians as well. This is why this is one of the big examples for me right now of the big betrayal going on in the Western world. And when you go to the website, I've talked about it before, Wiki Islam, which, by the way, I had somebody send me an email on this. You spell Wiki Islam, W-I-K-I, and then another I, for Islam. So it's Wiki and then Islam. But on Wiki Islam, they have a whole list of the counterfeit Muslim hate crimes, the fake Muslim hate crimes, which are just continual. There's continual reports of Muslims claiming that they're being attacked or harassed or something, persecuted over so-called Islamophobia. And quite often it turns out to be a hoax or a false claim. And it appears, based on the reporting, that the Srebrenica genocide, so-called genocide, and you got to understand something, they've got a whole memorial built for this thing. They do stories on all of this. I mean, they've really, really fabricated it. in a major way to make it look like the poor Muslims are at risk of just being massacred for no other reason than that they were Muslims. And they hide the fact that the killing of the Muslim jihadis was in response to the fact that they had massacred over 3,000 Christians who were just civilians. They were not soldiers, they were civilians. And all of that is brushed aside and covered up. The whole thing is, I'm going to have to do another show on this. I'm still researching parts of it. But a lot of it, a lot of the complexity of this goes back to World War II and the killing of the Orthodox Serbs by the Croatian Ustashi. And I'm still trying to figure out how this guy Praljak fits into all of that, because he's a Croat, not a Serb. And so I'm still trying to disentangle some of the politics there and the history. But one of the things about the Croatian Ustasha that I learned is that these were Croat Roman Catholics who were working with Muslims. And that I did not know until I began researching the story. So the Croatian Ustasha that killed upwards of 1 million Orthodox Serbs during World War II was made up of both Muslims and rabid Roman Catholics who went around massacring innocent people. I've still got a lot of research to do on this. But anyway, I'm going to keep an eye on this story about Praljak. Watch this in the news. This is very, very important, because basically this is what's happening to the Western world. The Western world is being undermined in favor of Islam. It is a huge betrayal. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.